So this evening's reading is Psalm 91, which can be found on page 596 of the Bibles on your seats. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Thank you very much for reading. Well, my name is Chris Tweller, and I'm part of this community here on the barge, and that's really great to see you, and happy new year to you. I'm going to pray, and we're going to look at Psalms 91. I'll say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that for your spirit to work in our hearts, soften our hearts. Let us trust in you as our refuge and fortress. Give us ears to listen to your word and life changing today. Amen.
Amen.
I wonder what is the first place that comes to your mind when you are down in the dumps, when you feel like the world weighs you down. What is the first place that comes to your mind? Where do you go for refreshment, for strength and deliverance? When you have a tough day at work, what is a place that you dream of? And maybe for you ladies, you'd like to go to the spa to pamper yourself with all this pedicure stuff. And perhaps for you guys, you'd like to go to the pub to shoot some pool and maybe down 1 or 2 pints. What is the first place that you dream of, the place that you think of to give you energy, to keep you going, to give you rest and safety? Well, tonight we're looking at this beautiful psalm. It tells us of a place that is in God, the God who protects his people. And that is the same God that raised Christ from the dead. And in this God, we have protection. So if you would follow, we don't have the insights today, but we do have the points that are going to come up overhead there. So the first point is a dwelling place for believers in God. A dwelling place for believers in God. So it is a believer writing this psalm, and confident that he knows God's salvation and protection. It is as if he has experienced it. He has experienced God's security and deliverance, and give us this beautiful picture. And he helps us to trust in this God. Do have a look at verse 1. He who rests in the shelter, in the sanctuary or the cover of God, the Most High, the God of Israel, the victorious one. So the one who dwells in the place of this God will abide in his security. And from the context of the Psalter, I take it that the place is the temple that the writer is thinking about. So the one who dwells in this place will be glued to God's sovereign security. Those who entrust themselves in God can be sure of his security. So the word shadow, it has some negative connotation in the scripture. But in this case, it is a positive one. The writer is not thinking of a dark, miserable shadow. But this is where Christians get their security. And this is where they feel safe in God. If you would imagine walking in the South Sahara Desert, you'll feel the scorch of the sun. And two things might come to your mind. You'd want ice-cold Coke. And perhaps you'd want to stay under the tree for shadow. And you'll have a perfect rest there. So those who believe in the gospel, they have a divine protection and refreshment in God. Friends, in this mighty God, we have a shelter. You don't have to long for one. You don't have to create a mystical shelter. In God, we have rest. And the encouragement for us today as believers is that we have an eternal place in God that is eternal and it can never be shaken. It's no longer about the temple where God used to rest. God's Spirit rests in us. And by faith, we know that we are in him and he is in us. So let us trust in him. Let us rest in him. Well, the writer continues to say, I'll declare to say that the Lord, the God of the covenant, he is my refuge and my fortress. Yahweh is my place of safety. Have a look at verse 2. Place of safety for us Christians, this means God is our source of help, relief in troubled times. He is our dwelling place. Brothers and sisters, we are not on our own here. We are safe in God. The God who laid the heavens and the earth. In him, we find refuge. But not only as a source of relief and shelter, but in God, the psalmist finds a place of stronghold, like a military base, where enemies cannot attempt to enter because there's a strong defense. God is our fortress. This is the God that the psalmist trusts in. He is a helper, rescuer, and defends his people. If you are a believer tonight, let me remind you that you are blessed to have a living God. You are a treasure to him. When he looks at you, he sees the one to whom his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, died for. Rest in him. He knows what you're going through. And this day, he's a source of comfort, relief, and he is your shelter. Question is, do you believe these promises? He does not sleep or slumber. He defends your case. Dwell in him. Continue to rest in this God. Continue to rest in the God of the covenant. He is faithful always. Well, how does God protect and deliver his people? And from what does he protect them from? That's the question you might want to ask. Well, the writer unpacks this great papal truth for us on my second point. Sure protection by God. And we're looking at verse 3 to 13 for that. And let me flag up from this point that I don't think God's protection is only confined to the end times only. Otherwise, we'd be left with a God who does not care, who does not hear. And that, of course, would go against Scripture. So it is possible that God protects his people physically today, and he protects them spiritually. So the two are not mutually exclusive. But we know that ultimately God will vindicate his people at the resurrection when Christ will come to judge the living and the dead. So have a look at verse 3 and see what God does for his people in a way of protecting them. So there are things in this life and also spiritual that we are not aware of. The God who does not sleep or slumber, he's aware of everything. He's aware when the needle falls. Verse 3 tells us that he will deliver a believer from the snare of a fowler. Now, this language gives us a picture of a hunter are setting up traps to get birds. And blindly, they will be trapped because they are not aware. The security for a believer is so amazing in God because we don't know what might have happened to us today. We don't know what might have happened to us yesterday. But God is always there and he protects us. Whether we are aware or not, the psalmist gives us an assurance that God will deliver us from those deadly traps, from all sorts of threats that might come your way, that might be the outbreak of plagues. God promises he will deliver his people. And it is worth knowing that his timing is not our timing. He is God and he is wise. He's aware of everything. He is in control. Also, the Bible speaks of spiritual warfare. Know that God will deliver us from those spiritual attacks, from the snare of Satan. So in God we find peace, strength, deliverance, and security. Have a look at verse 4. God will shield you. He will give you protection. And this, I think, if you will, think of a cherubim with its wings, giving you safety and warmth in its feathers. Or think of a strong eagle with sharp eyesight, fast and strong wings, protecting a little parrot. Friends, God is more protective of us. The promise is that those who trust in him will find a place of safety. Well, let me ask you this afternoon and this evening, where is your place of safety? Is it in your career? Is it in your future plans? The beautiful family that you desire or you have? Well, trust in God. Make him your place of safety. And let me also encourage us to stop having the abstract view of God. Let us fight hard to stop having an intellectual content that depends solely on intrinsic form. Let us feel and know that God is a living God. He cares for us. Let us trust in him. Let us have faith in his promises given to us to this day. When was the last time you paused and thanked God for his protection, both spiritually and physically? Because of the privileges that we have in the Western world, we think sometimes that we're protecting ourselves and not depending on God primarily for everything as our source of relief and strength. Let us trust in him. Do you believe that he protects you? He's covering you with his wings. Nothing can snatch you away from him because his faithfulness is a shield and buckler. A shield is meant to intercept attacks, and a buckler can be used to bind opponent's sword. That is God's faithfulness given to us in this beautiful picture. Have a look at verse 5-6. And this is, of course, a psalm written in a metaphorical language. So notice the times of the day. There's night, day, verse 6, darkness, and noonday. The times of the day bring mixed emotional experiences. During the day, you can be aware of the things that are going around, and you can predict them because it's visible. At night, you may be in a vulnerable position. But the promise is that you will not fear. Fear and faith stand in contrast in the Bible. Those who are in Christ, they have faith. They cannot fear. All that is happening around us, irrespective of whether we can predict them or not, God is sovereign and will protect his people. Yahweh, the God of the covenant, is greater than the terror of the night. He is greater than the government that puts our brothers and sisters in Christ in prison. He's greater than your anxieties about the change of economy this year. So trust in him. Have faith in him. And let me say that I do not believe the teaching that when you are in trouble, you do not have enough faith. God is wise. God is faithful. God is always with you. Have a listen to verse 7 and 8. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only see, you will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. You may have many enemies, and perhaps indeed the father of lies, Satan, they may come to attack you, but you will not be touched. They will come near you. That is verse 7. And as I was preparing this, I thought of the words of the Apostle Paul, that they can destroy the body, but the Spirit of God in us, they can't touch. He says in Corinthians, we are perplexed in every way, but not driven to despair. And that is because we are always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also manifest in our bodies. The believer will lift his eyes and only see God's justice in place. The believer will be protected according to God's word. And those who have been unjust will be punished. It is those whose behavior threatens the peace and well-being of God's community. Those who live outside trust of and protective care of God. Those who cannot say, you are my refuge and my fortress. Friends, God is not only a protector, he's also a judge. So things that are going on in Jos, in Nigeria, in Korea, North Korea, and other parts of the world where Christians are persecuted, let us keep praying for them. But let us also know that God is going to judge. Justice will be served. Rest in God's faithfulness. Come to the dwelling place, and God will deliver you and protect you. And that is because verse 8 and 9, because you have made him your dwelling place, instead of depending on other people to be your primary source of help in troubled times, you have made the God of the covenant, the faithful one, your God today. And quite interesting, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. That is, no evil shall be given permission to suppress those whom Christ, God's Son, died for. You are covered with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But sometimes it will feel like the evil one. But sometimes it wouldn't feel like that, because the evil one is trying to put out the fire of the gospel in your heart. You are protected by God. But sometimes it wouldn't feel like that. John Bunyan tells a story about the Christian life in his book, Pilgrim's Progress. It gives us this picture of a Satan putting out the fire of the gospel, chucking water in the lake of fire. But on the other side, there is a man chucking tons of oil, keeping the fire of the gospel going. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So friends, it is true that God won't let your foot slip. He will protect you. No deadly plague shall come near your tent, at your house, that is, because God is a protector. And this is how he protects those who are loved by him, verse 11. And the metaphors of verse 11 to 13 gives us idea of God's protection in guardianship and empowering believers to overcome the evil one. So the picture here is of a believer walking in a deep, narrow, steep-sided valley. As the believer embarks on his walk, the Lord will provide divine protection given by angels to bear a believer up, to not let his foot slip against stone. And bearing a believer up is such a strong thing in the Psalter, because it's a sign of salvation, that God will lift your head, God will bear you up. And interestingly, Satan quotes these words of verse 11 to Jesus in Luke 4, testing if God's promises are true. So he took Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are God's son, throw yourself down, and the angels of God will bear you up, as it is promised in Psalms 91. And that is really testing if God is a real deal. Wisely, Jesus said to him, "Do not put the Lord your God into test. Do not be like the Israelites. They've seen all that the Lord has done, but still they put him to test." God is mighty. We must not put him to test because of our unbelief. Let us have faith in his promises. Let us be firm and not be swayed away by clever men and women in the world telling us that God is not, it's just a Christian fanatic thing. God is real. He cares a great deal about you today, to the extent that he sent his one and only son to die for your sins. Well, the writer continues to assure the believer that he will be empowered to trample on the most vicious animals, the snake and the lion. If you know anything about the lion and snake, you'd know that they're very smart in getting their prey and very fast, very dangerous. But in all this, the believer will be given victory over those seemingly dangerous things in life. Friends, this is not to say you should book your holiday and go to Amazon and try this if the anacondas won't eat you up. I don't think that's the picture we're given here. The picture here is that the believers can know that God guards his people and empowers them by his Spirit to overcome the evil one. The words of the hymn, "When peace like river attended my way, though Satan buffet, if trial should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul." Friends, let's have this assurance that God does guard his people and empowers us to overcome the evil one. Well, we've heard it from the psalmist giving us all these good promises, but now we'll hear from God himself, the God of the covenant, in the following verses. And this is my third point: absolute promises of deliverance by God. Absolute promises of deliverance by God. And we're giving an intimate picture here of someone holding fast in love. And God promises is that if a believer holds fast to him in love, literally attracted to God, the Lord will deliver him because he has held fast to Yahweh. The Lord will protect him because he knows Yahweh's name. Knowing the Lord's name is not an intellectual exercise. It is the knowledge that leads to change of behavior in a Christian life. Knowing the God of the Bible is the only ruler of the universe. When he calls to God, verse 15, in prayer, God will answer him. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the days of his flesh, he offered prayers and supplication to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. That is Hebrews 5, verse 7. And if you notice there, verse 15, I will be with him in trouble. Not that there won't be any trouble, but that God is there in times of trouble. Standing in contrast with punishment of verse 7, God will rescue the believer and honor him so the believer will be vindicated as Christ was vindicated. Those who are in him can be sure of this absolute promise. Because the believer loves the Lord, the blessings of salvation and long life shall be poured out to him. Now let me say that the long life here might refer to a good life physically, but also it might refer to the life that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us at the end of times. So the Lord delivers, protects, he answers prayers, he's there in times of trouble, he rescues, honors, and satisfies the believer by showing his salvation. And know that all these are future tense promises. So it might be a promise for the next minute, but also it might be the promise when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Jesus is a leading believer, and those who are in him can be sure of these promises that they also apply to us. So let me, by way of concluding, let me draw out three things for us. The first is to encourage us to dwell in the place of God that is found in God. If you are a believer, can I encourage you to keep your position? Do not move. He is there for you always. You don't have to make an appointment. Call out to him in prayer for protection. Second thing is to encourage us to have a real experience of God. God does not just care only about spiritual stuff. He cares about you. He cares about your protection. Call out to him as your Abba, as your daddy. God is personal. So let us believe in his personal. Let us not entrust ourselves to philosophies and modern ideologies because they seem intangible. Trust in him and have a real relationship of father and child with God. That might mean meditating on his word every day. Calling to him in prayer. Be with his people who live out the gospel. If you're not a Christian today, thirdly, if you're not a Christian today, let me encourage you, let me invite you to consider this God. He cares about the people that Christ died for. Let me invite you to know him and learn more about these promises that we see here in Psalms 91. Let me close with the words from Charles Spurgeon. We believe in this God as being faithful to everything that he has spoken, a God who can neither lie nor change. The God of Abraham is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he is our God today. We do not believe in ever-shifting views of the divine being, which differing philosophies are adopting. The God of Hebrews is our God, Jehovah Jah, the Mighty One, the covenant-keeping God. This is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death. Let us be quiet for a moment and I'll pray. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, through him, Lord, you have shown us your salvation. Protect us, Lord, in this new year. Give us strength, give us energy to love you and to trust in you as our refuge and fortress.